Born and raised in Kansas City, he's followed the Chiefs his entire life. He's seen all but one of the Chiefs Super Bowl wins. 30 years later, he's still following the Chiefs, except now he gets paid to do it. He's our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, on the program.
Yes, indeed. We're talking Chiefs football, the Chiefs making moves. We are talking about it. Nate Taylor joining us here in the program, brought to you by all kinds of our great sponsors. One of them, Il Lazzarone, authentic Neapolitan-style pizza. Of course, food, beer, and wine. It's curbside to go with Il Lazzarone. Both locations, 412 Delaware Street in the River Market, 1628 Frederick in St. Joe. Just call in your order, pull up at the scheduled time, and they will deliver your food to your car. All gratuities, by the way, are going to staff members who are otherwise unemployed. At this time, you can call Il Lazzarone in the River Market, 816-541-3695, or in St. Joe, 816-273-0582. Il Lazzarone, thanking you for your patronage. Looking forward to serving you inside soon. Their wonderful, authentic Neapolitan-style pizza. Also brought to you by our friends at Applause Custom Sight and Sound. My guys that made it possible for me to broadcast from at home. All the great technology. You want smart home technology? It's at Applause Custom Sight and Sound. Find them online at applausetheater.com. Streaming, satellites, whatever you got, making it all work together, plus the lighting, the security systems, the sprinklers, all of it, all easy to use. On the touchscreen on your phone, or even just a touchscreen or a remote, but all of it working exactly the same way. That's Applause Custom Sight and Sound. You can check them out online at applausetheater.com. Nate Taylor on the Sprint guest line. Nate, how are you, buddy?
Oh, doing well. You know, I did shower today, so I hope everybody's, you know, doing their best to keep their, you know, hygiene up to snuff in this wonderful, treacherous time that we're in. But I'm good. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing as well as you can. I actually was not feeling good yesterday, so I was a little bit nervous about that, but feeling a lot better today. And one of the things I did, and I'm curious if you had a chance to do, get out and enjoy the sun. I mean, I think we've had like three-hour periods of sunshine since this all started. And it was great. I went outside for like 20 minutes and just stood in the sun and listened to the station on the app in my backyard and getting a little vitamin D. Some sunshine, I think, was in some fresh air, was huge for me.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I even got to make a little bit of some iced coffees, one for me, one for my wife, as we both work from home. I'm in the kitchen, she's in the office. The weather should hopefully get better, right? I mean, it has to, but it's been all in all pretty good. Everybody in my neighborhood has been very friendly. It's been nice to wave at folks, and like you said, go outside, be amongst. Some people in the neighborhood, everybody's keeping their nice distance to themselves.
Right.
I'm glad you're feeling good. Most of my family, if not all, is doing well based on what I've heard. Hopefully people are listening and, you know, staying glued to their phone like I am, because it's still in the middle of NFL free agency while also trying to, like, write stories and keep on top of everything while also having family time. So it's a weird situation, but I'm glad we're mostly doing well with it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. And let's talk about the moves the Chiefs made. They bring back Pinnell and Anthony Sherman. I don't think that either one of these things are shocking moves, but the Sherman one, you know, listen, he's been their fullback. I kind of feel like he might play till he's 70, as long as he keeps taking one-year deals. The Chiefs like him. He plays fullback well in the limited snaps. They need a fullback, and he's a great special teams player. So I think that's a natural fit and something you expected to happen, probably a league minimum deal when the numbers come out. I think the one that maybe has more impact is Pinnell being back. I said this, you know, if you're talking about getting rid of a guy, getting him out of the house, right, this doesn't take Chris Jones and get him out of the house. But it moves his chair in the living room a little bit closer to the hallway that goes by the kitchen, into the garage, and then ultimately outside. It definitely doesn't move him closer to the TV, right?
Right. And it's funny, too, because, like, I encourage all fans to do this. Like, I've been watching every couple days Chris Jones goes on Instagram Live and just like, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm fishing or hanging out with friends or, like, you know, just answering questions from, like, his followers. And people are like, hey, like, are you going to come back to the Chiefs? And, like, the small morsel of news he gave was like, hey, guys, sign up for the trove, y'all. I'm on that fence. It's not about control. It's like, I mean, kind of, not really. I mean, two sides can negotiate whenever they want. I mean, but sure. It's fun because Mike Pinnell was definitely going to be back. He basically told a lot of us, I want to say in January, that, you know, barring something unforeseen, he wanted to be with the team. I mean, he was the rare role player that once he came into the system, understood his role, and then was given the amount of snaps to perform, he fit the system about as well as anybody, honestly, outside of, like, the star players like, obviously, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark. So it's good that he's back. It made a lot of logical sense for both sides. I know some people were wondering, like, why wasn't it a 2 or 3 year deal? It mostly gives flexibility to both sides. And that's the same thing with even somewhat of Anthony Sherman's stature. We're like, hey, you know, you're a veteran. You know, everybody's going to try to, you know, maintain the same roster as best they can to try to, you know, repeat as champions in 2020. And then everybody can make the decision as they go moving forward because the Chiefs need as much cap space flexibility, as possible going into 2021, 22, and 23, obviously, as we assume Mahomes deal, you know, kind of grows as it goes along. With Chris Jones, I think, you know, it is pretty clear that if the Chiefs were to retain Chris Jones, that defensive line, pretty solid moving into next year. But Pinnell does fill a role. He is clearly someone that the team likes, that, you know, Steve Spagnuolo has worked really well with. But it does sort of move us closer to whatever the ultimate conclusion is with Chris Jones. And I think we're going to get closer and closer to that as we get closer and closer to the draft. That's just a natural deadline. It's like, hey, you going to trade for him or not? Hey, you going to re-sign him or not? Hey, whenever these off-season activities / training camp starts, you kind of need to know what his long-term future is. And so it is one part of a complicated matter as we move forward along with Chris Jones' future.
All right, so what's your gut telling you right now?
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean,
I don't know why. You know, you're like the one guy who seems to agonize over this, and I can't figure it out. Like, I think there's either people – everyone else is either like, no, he's too good, you can't let him go, or you're like me. No, he's too expensive, and as much as you'd love to keep him, they can't. They don't even have an option. You, like, don't – You seem to think that there's a real choice to be made here, and I feel like one or the other is true. Either he's been so good for 2 years that they have no choice but to keep him, and be damned, you know, the Corey Anderson approach, that no matter what you have to do to keep him here,
yeah,
he's
right.
That good. He right. is the difference maker, and if it means 7 Jags and Chris Jones as opposed to 8 players that are not just league minimum, then, you know, that's what you got to do. Or you're like me. And I say, if you're going to build a team the right way, you can't have the highest paid player. You're just going right back down the road of Eric Berry, highest safety, Justin Houston, highest outside linebacker, you know, where they were strapped, and the guys, and then one of those guys goes down and you're screwed. I don't think you can be that top heavy on your cap. And I'm the only one that I think sometimes remembers there's a fat raise coming to Patrick Mahomes on this year's cap, and there's no money for it.
Right, and this is why I agonize over it, because I'm trying to look at it from, you know, as, like, you know, obviously my job is to be as unbiased as possible, understand the situation as best I can, report accurate information, but it's just so complicated. And, like, I feel like it's okay to just acknowledge and, you know, be fully transparent to your listeners and to even our subscribers to The Athletic. It is a really complicated decision, and the more I think about it, it's like, can you tell me what the trade market is right now for Chris Jones? Because that would be
– See, I don't even – listen, all right, so let me give you a little bit of the trade market. So I spent last night, since I was just sitting around doing nothing, reaching out to different people, and I hear the trade market is slow.
Yep.
Right? I hear the trade market is slow right now, that there is not a lot of interest right now in Chris Jones. Now, two things that come up to me. One, Jadeveon Clowney hasn't signed.
Right.
And is that what it is, that everybody who's looking to add depth on their defensive line, and I know they don't play the same position, Clowney's an end and Jones is a D-tackle, but
they're the same caliber player.
They are, right? And so if you're looking to upgrade your defensive line, there's a guy out there that you can get with just money and no draft picks. And so to me, I think as long as you're in on the Clowney sweepstakes, then you'd rather do that than give up picks and go get your guy. right? And I think it speaks to the fact that the Colts, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe Clowney doesn't look good. I think a lot of people, there's some talk that he'll sign a one-year deal to get more sacks because teams aren't valuing him enough because he only had 3 sacks. But in reality, he had a ton of pressures, which is what most advanced teams that think wisely, understand pressures equal sacks. Sacks don't equal pressures. If you've got high sacks and low pressures, you're probably not that good. You just got lucky. But if you have high pressures and low sacks, you probably got unlucky. You're pretty good. Consistently getting to the quarterback is what leads to getting sacks. So I do think when Clowney signs that it gets better. And I also think you need a deadline. I don't know why. I am completely intrigued by why the DeForest Buckner deal came down so fast. I think the 49ers jumped on it because they couldn't believe they were getting offered it. I think that's part of it. And I think they may have been willing to walk on Armstead. And when this thing came out, they went, well, this is too good to be true, which makes me think screwy ownership, Jim Irsay in Indianapolis, is putting unnecessary pressure on Chris Ballard. And so he's making save-your-job moves in Indianapolis already. Right, that they don't recognize they lost Andrew Luck last year.
Yeah, it's
right.
It's moves, so right, it's moves that get us to the playoffs and get me a playoff win type of move, or get me back into true contention.
Right. It's not necessarily what he's been really good at doing to this point, which I think is building a great 53-man roster. It's almost like they're saying, "All right, we got one shot with Phillip Rivers. Let's hope there's enough left in the tank, and let's get to the playoffs, or even let's go to the Super Bowl." And then we bought ourselves some equity here, and we can go back to doing things the right way. I don't know why that deal came down. That deal makes – the DeForest Buckner deal makes no sense because number 13 on the draft charts is more expensive, right? That's more expensive than what the Chiefs gave up for on Frank Clark, right? I mean, you know, I know the Chiefs – well, they gave up a first and a second. Well, they were late first and seconds. I'm Googling the first draft chart I can get to. Like, pick 13 – on this chart, has 1150. The Chiefs traded what ended up being, 28? It's valued at 660, and then they traded what this year is going to be 64, correct?
Yep, correct.
No, it's the 40, or is it the 49ers pick that they're trading? Whatever it is. It's either 63 or it's 64. Either way, it's 63 or 64, okay? So 63 is 276. All right, so 276 plus 660 is 936. Right, pick 13 is 1150. So on the chart, and this is just one random one, they're all similar, they're all a little different, but they all are of kind of the, like, the last pick of the draft is worth 1 point, right? So it's going to take, you know, 3,000 seventh round picks to equal the number one overall pick, right? That's what you've got this year. So my point to that is, that deal that they gave for DeForest Buckner is even more expensive than what the Chiefs gave for Frank Clark. I don't know where the hell that came from, right? So I think that has screwed up the market for Chris Jones.
Yep.
Because if the Chiefs are looking at that going, wait a minute, Jones is better. Yep. So we got to get better than 13.
Yep.
They've lost their mind. Like, just because the Colts, you know, came up, like, did something that seems ridiculous, doesn't mean that somebody else is going to do it. So I think you got to be careful. So if the Chiefs are like, God, man, we were just hoping for 2 seconds, but now we're going to look like idiots if we don't get at least a first, and they're walking on good offers.
Yep.
I mean, everybody who's played fantasy football, Nate, knows, some jackass makes a dumb trade and somebody else got a better deal, and it just sucks to be me that I have to take less for the trade that I have to make. It's no different in the NFL.
Right. So there's three things, right? It's obviously the DeForest Buckner trade, and look, I think in the Chiefs' own facility, they still value Chris Jones's and his talent in terms of the evaluation, full-on evaluation, than they do DeForest Buckner, and that you can get into an argument about. But obviously, that's one. Two is, like you said, the natural deadline of the draft. For like, okay, for most fans, like if nothing happens for the next, I don't know, couple days, like just mark your calendar for when the draft starts, and then go back 5 days, because that's really when things start to pick up. Because you know, you have a better understanding of what the free agent market is, and obviously what teams' draft boards may look like as you get closer to the draft. And then thirdly, I mean, if you've gone nowhere with the contract negotiations, and I've heard no movement positively or negatively, really, it's kind of just been same old, then all these things have to be weighed a certain amount. And again, the Chiefs probably need a first-round draft pick. I don't know which team necessarily is going to do that at this moment. And so that's why it's hard for me to sort of say, man, I understand the talent. I understand how good he is. He is really, really good. At the same time, can you tell me what Patrick Mahomes' deal is? Can you tell me what's going to happen with Sammy Watkins? Can you tell me what's even going to happen with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif? I think I kind of know the answer to that. But you kind of need to see how all these things play out. And obviously, one decision impacts the other, which is why it's, you know, I won't say necessarily agonizing, but it is a mental challenge to sort of say, okay, this could go a couple different ways with two different outcomes. And I tend to agree long-term in your direction, Saran, that, man, having all these players with all this money, boy, they all better be healthy and they all better be good. But you also have Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, if you're going to make a deal like this and you got the best quarterback, maybe you make it work. It is a real saga to this offseason that is really fun to talk about, complicated in nature. And two, the trade, if you could just tell me what the trade market is the week before the draft, I'd have a better answer. But I don't have that at this moment, I should say.
Yeah. By the way, the Clark, I'm looking up the Clark, just to be clear, it's 63. No, it's 60. The 20. I'm on the wrong draft. The Clark, the second on Clark is 64. So it's pick 64.
Mm-hmm.
So on the trade value chart, the value of what they gave up for Frank Clark on this one, right? And they're all similar, but, you know, tweaked a little bit. On this one, it was 930, and the value of number 13 is 1150.
Right. So here's an idea too, right? Or here's a thought process I'm having. Let's say that David Clowney does sign a 1-year deal, so it kind of even squishes things a little bit more. Let's say you get to the draft and like no one's going to give up anything close to like fair compensation for Chris Jones. You go all the way through the draft, you make your selections. Every team makes their selections. You have a little conversation too after the draft. Nothing really materializing. All of a sudden, it's June. Like, I don't even know where we are with the whole, you know, social distancing. Like, do teams go back and do at least some version of mandatory minicamp, or do you just push everything off to training camp? Then what do you do? And, by the way, contract negotiations are kind of like up and down, but, like, nothing real substantial. Do you just say, hey, he's got to play on the 16.1? I mean, I don't think they can do that from a financial standpoint.
Well, like, no, I think just, that's where I think that decision – listen, I think you already know that. I mean, do you think Chris Jones is going to come and play for 16-1?
No.
So he's going to hold out, and you're trying to defend a Super Bowl, right? So you can't say like, oh, well, we're going to play hardball with him like the Redskins did with Trent Williams. And if he wants to sit out 11 weeks and play the last five, we're fine. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that say, well, what do you mean? The last 5 weeks are the most important ones, and then he's available in the playoffs. Okay, I guess that's one way to look at it.
But what's your record? What's your record before week 11?
Well, 12? That's right. Yeah. But, I mean, the whole point is you're carrying that cap space you need to finish off your 53. So I don't think that's an option, right? I think you're saying if you're going to keep him, we got to have him. And so you need him to play. And I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that Chris Jones is in St. Joe or at the facility, wherever and whenever they open training camp, if he doesn't have a multi-year deal. I think there's no shot. That, to me, means it's either signed to an extension or trade. And we will know that he is will be signed by, like, mid-July, whatever that date is in July. If he doesn't get it done by mid-July, they can't sign him.
Right.
And at that point, you're screwed. So there's two deadlines. One, there's the draft, because you really could use the picks this year.
Yep.
Okay, the draft goes by, you don't get the picks. You still have a bailout before the July deadline of trading to someone else and taking next year picks, which could be great because you could get a team that looks good and they suck, and so the picks get more valuable. Or it could suck. They could look bad and then be really good and the picks get less valuable. But those are your two deadlines when you got to get something done.
So I believe
the Chiefs, don't you think Chris Jones has the juice here? They've got to do something before this draft?
Yeah. And so, but my point to all of this is, and you spelled it out really, really well. If we can figure that out, Sarin, there's 30 teams in Bill O'Brien. I think the 30 teams understand that. So, like, they could squeeze the Chiefs if they really wanted to, or if they don't feel like they get fair value, or if, hey, do we really need Chris Jones this year, or could we just wait around until next year when, like, you know, if we understand that, rival executives understand that. Maybe Bill O'Brien understands that? I don't know.
Have you noticed how much of the cap has already gone?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's why I say that if the Chiefs were offered 13 and they didn't jump on it for Chris Jones because it was he was going to be playing for the Colts and you consider them a rival, man, was that a mistake. I know every big trade has been across conference lines. I swear to God, if I were the Royals, I'll trade with the Indians, the White Sox. I don't care who it is. I'm counting on that I know what the hell I'm doing, and I'm going to make good deals. And so I'm going to screw them and benefit myself way more than they're ever going to screw me or benefit themselves, right? You have to believe in what you're doing. This I'm terrified of giving somebody good to the other team crap is cowardice, and there needs to be no place for it in being a GM. So right. If for any reason if they had a shot at 13 and they didn't take it, I mean, that's a disaster. Now, I personally don't think they did because I don't think the Colts.
I've called, they
run just as scared as every other general manager.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I can say with pretty good amount of certainty that, like, neither team talked before the Colts executed that move.
So do you remember when we started free agency, the top cap teams were like $91 million, $87 million, $84 million, $83 million,
yep.
$79 million, $70. Here's the top caps. I'm using Spotrac for this one. 42, 30, 29, 26, 17, 16, 23, 18. I mean – those numbers are coming down, right?
Yeah.
And they're coming down.
You're right. And you got a draft allotment to factor into all that. And you still got to fill out, you know, rotational guys that are going to either start or, you know, be counted on certain situations and downs. I mean, yeah, it's a factor. I mean, I just, like, part of me wants to be like, are the Tampa Bay Bucks? But they just signed Dominican Sue. Like, that was a question I was, like, kind of rattling around. Like, hey, you think they, like, sniff around? And, like, maybe trade for Chris Jones? Because they got one of those, like, middle first-round picks. They wanted to, like, float that out. They thought that, like, hey, we want to be competitive. Hey, we want to win the division. We can take down the Saints. The Carolina Panthers are rebuilding. God only knows what, you know, the other team in the division is doing. But then they just re-signed Ndamukong too. So it's like, I don't know.
Let me suggest a team. I'm trying to look at what picks they've got. Do they not have any picks? Those morons, they're so stupid they don't even have picks.
The Redskins are dumb.
Yeah. You know, the Redskins have Indianapolis, that's right. The Colts have the Redskins second-round pick. I was going to be like, you know what a good team would be? The Redskins. High second and then like a fourth, you know, or a fourth and a fifth and, a you know, something like a whole bunch of picks. But they don't even have their second pick. I forgot they traded that away to the Colts. I was going to be like, well, the Redskins have cap room, and they got a new coach who's defensive-minded.
Yep.
Maybe they would be interested. If you go to the NFC teams with money, here are the top NFC teams in their cap room. $31 million for the Lions, $30 million for the Eagles. By the way, the Lions are sixth, Eagles are seventh. Then you got to go all the way down to the Panthers at 11, at 30. Those are the teams. I mean, I suppose the Lions are in a desperate shape. Would the Lions be a team that you could get something done with? They need good talent. I don't think they're giving up. I know they're not giving up number three.
Right.
But they have 35.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got 35 in the second and then 67 in the third. I'm trying to see if they have any extra picks in there. I'm not seeing any extra picks, but you know, I mean, like, I'd take that 35 and 67, or, you know, 35, 109, and a third next year. I'm all for that. That's a second, a third, and a next year third. I would do that for him right now.
We'll see when we get close to the draft. I mean, it's when you really look at, okay, the draft order, the cap space, why it makes sense for the other team that would make the initial call, the Chiefs or vice versa, the window is getting smaller is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah. No, I agree. We need the deadline, and we need someone to want to step up there. Look, if the Chiefs are at a point where they know they have to trade him, they're ultimately going to have to take whatever they're offered.
Right. And by the way, at least I know I keep mentioning Bill O'Brien because the more you think about it, the more we even talk about it. What did he do with Deion? Like, at least you know you're not even – I would assume, if you're a Chiefs fan and understand the whole situation, at least you would assume that Brett Veach and Andy Reid and the whole scouting department have really exhausted every option at that point. If you're trading in that scenario where you don't get a first-round pick, but, like, hey, this is a way the market and the timeline sort of dictated things. At least you wouldn't be trading Chris Jones early for less value, which is what Bill O'Brien did with a star receiver, which made no sense even to this day, the more I think about it. So at least if you're the Chiefs, you're like, hey, we tried to hold firm. We understood what our conversation was. Yeah, there was a really interesting trade that happened, you know, at the start of free agency, but this is what we can get. We know we can't keep him based on salary cap reasons. We know we got to pay Patrick Mahomes. And, hey, we'll just roll the dice and see how good we can draft moving forward, because that's ultimately what you're going to have to do to sustain excellence with Patrick Mahomes. You have to draft well. Nothing matters in free agency this year, really, except for the draft. Like, the draft is just way more important than free agency. That has played out so far. And if you trade Chris Jones, you better have a plan to really evaluate and get the right prospect that can help the team moving forward to sort of fill that hole that obviously he's going to create once you trade him away.
Texans draft picks, if you come back to Bill O'Brien, a second, a third, 2/4, a fifth, and 3/7. That's this year's picks.
Dog, I mean, just they have no ability to move up. I would assume they won't do that. And, man, Deshaun Watson, I mean, I hope they don't treat him like Warren Moon, man, but it ain't looking pretty.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they might as well. I mean, they've got some cap room. They might as well go for him. Give up, a second, a fourth, and a next year's third or something. I would do that trade right now if I were the Chiefs, because I'd be getting a little bit nervous right now if I were the Chiefs. But we'll see how it plays out. Nate Taylor is with us from The Athletic, where he covers the Kansas City Chiefs. We will take a break, come back, talk more about the NFL and the Chiefs. That's next here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro.
I don't know. I don't know.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Good Sense end of the hour answer. On this date in 1982, Wayne Gretzky became the first NHL player to score 200 points in a single season. How many times did he do that in his career? 200.
One more time.
100 Wayne plus Gretzky points, on this date. How many times did he do it? He did it for the first time on this date in 82. How many times did he have 200 points in a season?
I'm going to say 6.
It was only 4, but he was the only guy ever to do it. 4 200-point seasons, and they're all the great one. Mario Lemieux was 1 point short in 1989.
Wow. It's amazing how much he stands out from the rest, even the other great ones that have come along. And I know Alex Ovechkin, I mean, this really hurts his chances. I mean, there are people that thought that Ovechkin might actually break his goals record. He's still got a long way to go, but, you know, you play for, some hockey guys have played well into their 40s, and that he's got a shot, but, like, the things that Gretzky did are just unreal.
And to a degree, they've kind of dwarfed, I mean, what Mario Lemieux has done. There have been 13 guys have 160 or more. 4 of those are Lemieux, but he just gets washed away in everything Gretzky did.
Yeah, playing for Good Sense there. Don't forget the Good Sense to-go meals. A great opportunity for you to get it to-go. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. Order them online. They're all just $5, and they're a full meal. It's the protein and the sides. Of course, yes, they're wonderful pastas, which my kids absolutely love. They've got all kinds of pasta dishes for you, but also grilled Alaskan salmon, classic pot roast, lasagna, naked chicken and veggies, meatloaf, all with side dishes. This is perfect, particularly if you are having to take food to loved ones, seniors, or people that are have compromised immune systems that are just absolutely not getting out under any circumstances whatsoever. First of all, thank you for staying home and doing what you can. But if you need it to go, Good Sense to-go meals are a great way to grab a bunch of meals and take care of them without having to go to the store, right, and shop and be around a lot of different people to get them different things for meals. You got the whole meal right there at Good Sense. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com to get more information on this. They're just $5. You can put your order in online at GoodSenseSubs.com and make sure that you are a loyalty club member, 10% back off each of your purchases. We're talking to Nate Taylor here in the program. He is with us on our Sprint guest line. All right, so we talked about Chris Jones and where we think it sits now with Mike Pinnell coming in and what that means. It's another week, and I know you've always had a good relationship with Sammy Watkins. He's still on the roster.
Still on the roster.
He's still on the roster. Does he have a new deal? Is the way, because the cap sites continue to have the Chiefs at or over the cap without even putting in the Anthony Sherman and Mike Pennell numbers or Pennell numbers. And so this cap room is coming from somewhere. Is Sammy Watkins renegotiated and reports just haven't gotten out there yet?
I have done my due diligence and I've tried to get an understanding of it and a handle on it. I don't have anything sizable to really report. But, yeah, I mean, like I said last week, I mean, it's kind of the two sides kind of want to make something work. I don't know specifically how that may get done. But him being on the roster is still sort of interesting just because all of it sort of points to, like, him returning in 2020. And, of course, like we mentioned last week, I don't know if really any team's going to trade for him. You could obviously release him, and that makes him available for all 30 teams. You can still sort of try to find out a deal. But it looks like, from all indications so far, that they're going to try to find a way to make this work. I think the guy right now who's probably more likely to get released is Laurent Duvernay-Tardif at the moment, just because of the team, you know, sort of trying to figure out what the offensive line is at the moment, the understanding that his cap hit is somewhat sizable for the position that he plays. But, yeah, right now it looks like Sammy Watkins, unless something crazy happens and things can change quickly in free agency, it looks like he's probably going to be on the team next year.
Well, we're starting to get to a point, too, where it's going to be kind of uncool to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to cut the guy, and you know you're going to cut the guy.
Especially when free agency has been going for, what, day eight? This is like day nine, if you count Monday, right?
Right. I mean, you're kind of getting to where you're hanging the guy out to dry if you're just now going to get around to moving him. So, you know, and I don't think that strikes me as the way that Andy Reid goes about doing business, right? Everybody likes playing mm-hmm. for Andy Reid. I don't think Brett Veach would do business that way, having, you know, grown up, you know, under Andy Reid in his system and understanding his philosophy and approach to doing things. So I'm starting to get to think that, you know, whether it's Watkins. Now, I will say this. If they're offering him a renegotiation with more money and he is saying no, and they come to an agreement with Chris Jones, and part of coming to the agreement is they release
right.
Sammy Watkins.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. Watkins right. has got to be willing to play ball as well, because mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see him in a Chiefs uniform counting $21 million against the cap. You agree?
Yes. And that, I mean, that has been understood since, you know, the offseason began, or even when the contract was signed, honestly. Like, I think if you got either side, when they made that deal in 2018, I think both parties knew this is really a two-year deal masquerading around as a three-year deal. Because, like, whoa, look at that cap here, dog. And you have the history of last year where, you know, Justin Houston was older, but he was also on a $21 million cap hit, and he gave no indication whatsoever that he was going to renegotiate that deal. And I think both sides were willing to move on, so that was an easier decision when free agency began. Whereas this one, Sammy Watkins is younger. They won the Super Bowl. He was very productive in the playoffs. When healthy, they are virtually unstoppable on offense, and obviously both sides want to make it work. So that's the differences. But, yeah, I feel like if Chris Jones' deal gets done first, it complicates a lot of things. It complicates things for not only Chris Jones, but for Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. It complicates, you know, or changes, I should say, what the team would do in terms of their draft preparation, in terms of how many picks you may have to at your disposal. But, yeah, Sammy Watkins has been clear on what the whole situation was when the team was still playing. That goes into, like, January.
Is there a bigger enigma than Sammy Watkins? I mean, you know, I'm trying to find something that says, all right, you know, the one thing that is undeniable is he's come up big in the postseason.
He Duke can play.
Right. And he's been there. They needed him against the Pats the year before. He was there. You know, he has come up big in the postseason. 8-for-114 against the Pats last year. 8-for-62 against the Colts 2 years ago. I guess I should say 2 years ago. Last year postseason, 2-for-76 against the Texans. Let's see, 7-for-114 against the Titans with a touchdown. 5-for-98 against the Niners. I mean, he has been there. I tried to look at it and say, well, can I pump up his regular season numbers? Like, let me go back and look at when he was playing, when they played with Matt Moore. Was it Matt Moore just didn't throw him the ball?
Yeah, in November,
No, not really the case. 10 targets for the Vikings, 8 against the Packers. He collectively had 12 catches for 108 yards. Now, I can say that the yards per catch were higher with Patrick Mahomes. So had Mahomes played, he'd have done better. But Sammy didn't play against the Broncos.
Right.
So, you know, that was during his stretch of being out. He missed a couple of games like he seemingly always does. Man, he's the most difficult guy to get your arms around on what he is. And I'd love to see him there because when he does perform, it's pretty impressive, right? But he is somewhat of a luxury.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Brett Veach has always said on the record and in talking to people in the organization is that he's so talented that, like, he makes the offense fit in ways that, you know, a DeMarcus Robinson can't, unfortunately, or anyone younger like, you know, Byron Pringle. Like, they have a big three in terms of receiving weapons between Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins. They're all playing together virtually in the midst of all their primes. And so they overpaid in free agency in 2018. Like, they will not deny that. But they understood what he could do if everything went right and if their projection of fractured Mahomes was as good as they sort of assumed, i.e. they were right. And so for in terms of, like, who Sammy Watkins is, yeah, you're right. I mean, interesting dude. Like, I've written, you know, earlier this month about the whole idea that, like, he's one of the most intriguing players because he's really intelligent. He does play hard when he's on the field, injury prone, as, you know, his label sort of suggests based on the number of games he's missed over the course of the year.
Let's be honest about that. The league would call him soft because it's never surgery. It's always soft tissue injuries, which doesn't mean that they're not real.
Right.
I'm just telling you that there are guys around the league, and you know it too, that would say that he just won't suck it up and go.
The thing that I remember in 2018, so this is in Patrick Mahomes' MVP year, was that he missed, I think, the last 5 or 6 games of the year. And I was told, and it turned out to be true, that it was a real injury that you could have surgery.
Broken hand, right? Broken finger or something, right?
Yeah, it was. I think it was his foot. I think it was like it couldn't, you know, let's just rest and see how it does, because if you have surgery, that just wipes out all the postseason play. Obviously, Sammy Watkins, understanding his, you know, reputation in the league, wanted to be there for the playoffs. It worked out, and, you know, he gutted it up. I don't think he was 100% in the Colts game, but I think he was, you know, as good as you could expect for him to be in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. But, yeah, I mean, the dude describes himself as a wizard. Go down his Twitter account, ladies and gentlemen. It is a wonderful time. And if you can comprehend all of it, it's, you know, then up to you. But Sammy loves Patrick Mahomes. Brett Veach values Sammy Watkins obviously higher than most of the people in free agency 2 years ago. He was proven right. And so the two make each other better than you know, individually, I would say, for Sammy Watkins' career. So he understands the landscape and that if he wants to be as good as physically possible, if he wants to reach the maximum potential, sure, he could do that elsewhere, but it's probably more logical for him to be back at least for 2020 to see what he can do in this offense that has fit him really well.
All right, last thing before we take a break, and that is 11 catches, 198 yards, and 3 touchdowns, right? That's what he did in the opener. That's a hell of a game, right?
Hell of a game. And by the way, cooked Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, okay, so what kind of game is 12 for 161? Is that a pretty good game? No touches. 12 for 161. Is that a good game?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. Well, that's what he was during the 6-game win streak to finish the year.
Mm-hmm.
The whole 6 games.
The whole 6 games. Now looking.
I mean, he was more in the game against the Jags than he was the last 6 games of the year. He is such a freaking enigma to try to figure out what to do with.
But in terms of what coaches will tell you and scouts, whatever, it's like you have to respect him on the field. He does open up, you know, Travis Kelce a ton just because you have.
Oh, he does. He does.
You have to get.
Yes.
Like, there are things on film that statistically just aren't shown. And I will say, for everyone who loves and idolizes the Chip Wasp play, the 3rd and 15 completion, look at what Sammy Watkins does on that play, because the reason he's running the route the way he's running it is to attract the secondary. He does a good job. All of a sudden, Tyreek Hill gets wide open, and his teammates working within the system and the system, you know, enhancing the team, the, you know, the player's ability to make that play work. And obviously, you need a quarterback who's great, like Patrick Mahomes. But the point is that Sammy Watkins does not get any, you know, credit on that play statistically, but he did do his job. And even when you watch NFL films, Patrick Mahomes reminds Sammy Watkins, hey, you be working on the crossing route so that all the 49ers see, hey, the ball's going this way. And then all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill runs, you know, clearly behind him. So, yeah, Sammy Watkins has a lot of value on this team, probably more than 20 other teams in the league. And so it makes sense for him to be on the roster as of right now, and we'll just kind of see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we'll take a break. Come back more with Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Of course, Nate with us, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Go to familyleisure.com. Everything you need for your man cave and, of course, to get out on the patio. Patio furniture. I've got all my patio furniture at Family Leisure. They do such a great, great job. Highest quality. And, of course, you always save more when you mention 810 and the program. Family Leisure, K10 and Ridgeview. Great, great folks, great Kansas City company, great partner of Sports Radio 810 WHP and us here at the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
If you're in the car and saying, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and this is terrible radio, I agree.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHP.
All right, wrapping things up. Final segment here in the program. We always finish strong here in the fourth quarter. And with the final segment, Nate Taylor with us here in the program. Actually, I just blew through that sign, didn't I, Jed? Was it Nate know he was doing an hour? Did I just he was supposed to be two, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Nate's a swell enough guy. I mean, here we sit. What are we going to do now?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nate. Here we sit. Just occurred to me. I looked down at my sheet. And I'm like, no, Nate wasn't supposed to be here, but he's here. So Nate, thank you, for joining us for the unscheduled third segment.
Always.
Today's gone fast. Listen, I was happy because I was feeling better. I was happy because we had sunshine. I'm always happy when we got football news, which we had. On the draft front, I mentioned this earlier. I'll give you a chance to weigh in. I understand why the general managers want to push back the draft. Their GM council voted 6-1, asking to move it back. Mm-hmm. But, like, if there is any way possible, they can't do that, can they? They have to give football fans this release. Make it fair for everyone. Don't let anybody back into their building until everybody can go back into their building. I think that they should want that just for competitive balance.
Yeah.
You know, across the board. Forget about the draft. Forget about that should be true for everybody, right? Make it the same for everybody. But, you know, figure it out like we did for Sunday Sound Off, me and you making it happen, actually just getting in front of our computer. The guys at 41 made it happen. But, you know, 41 found a way to make it happen. The multi-billion dollar corporation that is the NFL can figure this out to where they don't have to compromise anyone's safety, and they can give the fans the release they need, which is the glory of the NFL draft, don't you think?
I completely agree. And there's two factors, right? You're right. One, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, who, by the way, has not really changed when all the rest of the world has. And two, for a league that predicates so much of its value to fans on parity and balance and, like, hey, with just a few changes in coaching staff, player development, and a couple draft picks, you can go to first to worst, baby, or worst to first. So,
yeah,
they need the draft. They've made a decision already. I understand why general managers – you know, kind of pushed back and said, hey, man, like, this draft's going to be complicated. But you can make that argument for every draft, right?
Yeah. But the thing of it is, it's completely fair. Now, the only thing I would listen to is, like, hey, we got a whole bunch of picks this year because we were planning on being able to do all our due diligence on a lot of picks. If we'd have known we were going to have to do it this way, we'd have been trading picks for players.
Right.
Well, I get it. But nobody saw this coming. So we are where we are. Everybody's dealing with the same thing, and suck it up and get it done. I know there are problems. I'm not trying to demean what the general managers are saying at all. But we need it, right, Nate? We, as the country, football fans, need the draft. And the NFL has been fantastic for giving us a diversion, and we need the draft. Simple as that.
You already have free agency. And look, man, anybody can do this. Click through the tape. You just got to watch the tape, and that's what you have to go on most. Usually in a regular draft, and you definitely have to do it now. Like, who on tape looks good? Who on tape fits your system? That is what ultimately matters. And, hey, every pick's a gamble. You hope you do better than worse.
You know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Nate, hey, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Stay healthy, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. You too, guys.
All right, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, back at it tomorrow at 2.